Well, hello everybody out there in Music Video Land. It is Thursday night, at least when we're recording this, Friday morning when you're listening to it, and you're listening to the Music Video Land podcast, the only podcast, as far as we know. There may be some weirdo ones that people just record for themselves and never release, but the only one that's released that we know, where we kind of take a look back at the week of music videos, talk about what's going on, and we have a fantastic panel to do so. We have me, of course. Adam Fairholm of IMVDB fame, and then we have Mr. Douglas Klinger of IMDB fame. Doug, how are you?
Doing super good, Adam.
And then we have Mr. Adam Alexander from our good friends at Fringe Music Fix. Adam, how are things up there in Canada?
Things are excellent.
That's good.
Sorry, that was bad, Joe.
Yeah, that was. Don't try to recreate last week when we came up with our catchphrases. The catchphrases will just come out when they come out. There's no kind of forcing them, I don't think.
Yeah, it's got to be organic.
It was natural.
So I wanted to start off this week by discussing something that, you know, we rarely get to discuss, like, new music video phenomenons on, you know, amongst ourselves because, you know, with so many music videos coming out, I feel like they've sort of all been done up to a certain point. But we're seeing a lot of older songs getting music videos. Have you guys noticed this?
Oh, is that this? There were two phenomenons this week. We could talk about that one.
Well, that was, I'd say two videos makes a phenomenon.
Yeah, no, definitely. And there was also an interactive music video phenomenon this week with three.
Right.
So let's talk about that phenomenon. Old songs getting music videos.
Yeah, this is interesting because there are two different types of them. One was for the Beatles' Words of Love, which in itself it's a Beatles song, but it's a cover song of Buddy Holly, and I'm a fan of the old Beatles stuff, and I love that song, but I was really surprised for them to see them make a music video of it directed by Peter Candeland. And it's for their release of the BBC Sessions Volume 2, interestingly enough. And that was sort of an animated music video. Pete Candeland is, a lot of his work has to do with, like, the Beatles Rock Band. I don't know if you guys ever played Beatles Rock Band, but there's all these animations and stuff. And he did those, and they're very similar to the music video. And then we had, which was probably the news superstar darling of the week, which is Bob Dylan's, what was it called, the song?
Like a Rolling Stone.
Like a Rolling Stone, which was an interactive video. And that is a very old song, and as far as I can tell, there was no real reason to do a video for it.
No, a box set.
Box set, that's right, I'm sorry. You know, I can't really remember this sort of thing happening that much in terms of, like, taking old songs and then, you know, making music videos for them.
Yeah, I don't really recall. It certainly hasn't happened since we've been running the site, but I don't really recall it ever happening before either. There also hasn't been much opportunity for it. Like,
right.
There's not each old of these songs that to be relevant now.
Right, each of these has a re-release or something, and I think before, when a box set or a re-release would come out, they wouldn't be doing a music video for it. You know, they did the Beatles Free as a Bird because they did the Beatles anthology, and they had a new, you know, kind of a new song, and they did a music video for that, which was actually very similar to this one, and, you know, the Beatles are not all living. There's only two of them left, so you kind of have to piece things together from old footage and animations and stuff, and they've done a great job of that, but it's a kind of an interesting thing now. You know, I think it kind of is telling in how effective music videos are as a promotional tool. If you're trying to promote something, then kind of a music video is the way to go.
Yeah,
I really think that music videos are seeing a rebirth too, in general. So it might be testament to that as well.
Yeah, the first thing people think of is, like, you know, like, hey, let's do a music video, and you know, why not? Especially for, you know, one like the Beatles' Words of Love. I'm sure the Bob Dylan one had a relatively large budget, but, you know, Words of Love is animated video, a lot of not stock footage, but sort of archival footage, probably relatively inexpensive to put together.
Yeah, I don't think the Dylan one was very cheap. They got a lot of they got a lot of names, and there's a lot. It's basically 17 music videos. But
Doug, talk about the concept for this one, because this had people talking basically all week.
Yeah, people were pretty excited about this video all week. A lot of people who you don't like, who aren't even necessarily always talking about music videos, you know, when you get an interactive music video, you know, it'll even get coverage on like Mashable and sites like that. But this one made a lot of buzz in the music video community as well. People were pretty excited about it. And so essentially the concept of this video, it's an interactive music video. It starts... you basically have control of the you're basically watching a television. That's what the music video's concept is. You're watching a television, and the interactive part of it is you have control over the channels, and you can kind of surf through 17 different television channels, and each of these channels features a fake television show. And that show, whatever is happening on that show, the people are lip-syncing the Bob Dylan song. And it's not just like they created fake television shows to put on there, and now some of them they did, but others they like actually went on set of active television shows, like they were on The Price is Right, and they had Drew Carey and contestants and model, you know, the spokesmodels or whatever, all lip syncing the songs. They had like a sports center, or I don't think it was Sports Center. Yeah, Pawn Stars was one. There was Pawn Stars. There was some kind of property stars, or, you know, property dudes, property bros, whatever the show is, but it's a real show. But yeah, the Pawn Stars, and I know, Adam, you're a big Pawn Stars fan. And each of them was kind of their own little music video, and if you looked at the credits, there's actually a credits website, because the website itself, to watch the interactive video, obviously it's not on YouTube, you have to go to a website. There's also like a /credits.html, which is probably not what they should have named that page, and that like lists the full credits. And so there's credits for just the video itself, and then there's credits for each individual little segment. And my favorite segment is probably the Danny Brown one, which Danny Brown, who's a rapper who's made some great music videos. Yeah, it's really great. So I was going to ask you guys which your favorite was. So Adam Alexander already answered. He agrees, Danny Brown, his fave. Definitely. What about you? What about you, Fairholm?
Wait, Adam, I want to hear more about this Danny Brown thing, because I didn't catch this one. What was this one?
Oh, well, he's Danny Brown is a very popular rapper who kind of is very well liked in all different kind of circles of rap fans. So the indie scene likes him a lot, and people that are into rap, just rap, like him a lot.
Yeah, too. Traditional.
So he's very, very popular. And so it's basically just him doing what he's done in most of his last few videos. It's just kind of him rapping, and there's some animated stuff kind of drawn around him, and he's eating basically various things the entire time. And it would actually be a good Danny Brown video as a standalone as well, if he were rapping one of his own songs. It's very well done. Yeah.
And I think it's also it's got a double meaning, because perhaps Danny Brown's most popular music video is somebody else lip-syncing his lyrics. Help me out here, Adam Alexander. What's that video for?
You got me on that one.
Oh, shit, you guys.
I'm going to use this cool new website I found called IMVDB.
Who are we? But I thought
called
maybe...
what?
I thought Alexander would have it in the holster.
Someone's singing...
It's grown up is the name of the song.
Oh,
it's,
right. Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
Directed by Greg Brunkawa.
And I think and there's elements in that video that kind of exist in the Dylan video, because like he's on a swing and stuff like that, and there's a little kid who's like that. So I think there's a little bit of a callback there. And also we should mention, and I forgot to mention before, the very first station. Now when you watch the interactive video, it starts on a random channel, I think. So it's like no two viewings are the same, they say, because it's going to start you on a different channel, and in order to like click around, you're not going to be able to like see it the exact same way as you did. All the way down, the bottom station is actually Bob Dylan performing, like an old...
Yeah, it's like a VH1 kind of deal, right?
It's basically him performing that song, which is a nice little touch, too. So, yeah, the very next station was Danny Brown.
So, my favorite, just because... The fascinating thing I found about this video is that obviously the novelty comes from kind of switching around these different channels and watching them. But I like to just sit on a channel and just go, just ride it the whole way. Because you can find all these little, because each one is kind of a weird thing. Like for instance, Pawn Stars, they kind of do a whole episode of Pawn Stars, like down to the setups of the guy. You know, when they interview the guys who are trying to sell their stuff, or even the experts that they bring in outside the Pawn Stars thing, they had a lot of those like setups. It was pretty much like a whole like 4.5 minute Pawn Stars episode. So
they kind of try to tie the lyrics into what's happening in the scene too. I noticed it in The Price is Right a lot, where the lyric would actually be possibly what that person might say in that in that scenario. It's really well done, the whole thing.
There's a QVC one, like a home shopping network, and they're talking about a vacuum, and my mom just bought that vacuum.
Is she part of the does your mom Reddit? Does she do Reddit?
No, oh yeah, my mom loves Reddit. No. she does Pinterest though.
Oh, okay. Reddit's new thing is asking everybody in an AMA what a vacuum they use, because there's a guy who owns a vacuum repair shop. They did an AMA, and it turned into this whole discussion about the best vacuum. So now everybody who asks, comes on an AMA, gets asked what kind of vacuum they use. Anyway,
But yeah, it's like a handheld little Dirt Devil type vacuum. And yeah, my mom just bought it. I like watched that video and then went out into the kitchen, and there was like a box of that vacuum, and it was really kind of like a weird thing. It's a weird thing.
So
this thing has mad replay though. Like I spent way too much time on this one and the Pharrell one today. I think I spent an hour watching.
So
I tweeted out some negative comments about this video initially. It didn't work on me at first.
Can you explain that? I'm curious. Like I just
internet is shitty, and I get really upset at a lot of interactive music videos, because frequently they take more bandwidth and like they just don't. It's more difficult, right? It's more difficult to work. And then I got some better internet and it worked a little bit better. So I think that, and because of that, like a lot of what makes this video work is the interactivity working well. And when you're on a good internet connection, it actually does work really well. It's pretty seamless. And you know, just having it seamlessly work like that, it's a big part of what makes this video work. And that part was lost on me. And so it just felt like, at first, it just felt like a cameo video. At first, and because like everyone was like Drew Carey, and people get like so excited over fucking Drew Carey, and like it didn't. I was like neat, and then like I got the effect, which is like I said, a big part of what makes the video work. And so then I had a change of heart. But yeah, that's
just a miracle.
It's also because you know. Whenever everybody just like universally accepts something as good, I have to find a reason not to like it. I'm such an idiot. Anyway.
That's a hipster trademark there. That's just cool, a little bit.
A cool guy thing. It's a thing.
A cool guy. If we don't want to go there, a cool guy thing.
Right.
I'm not the biggest Dylan fan, which I know is kind of heresy, but.
Not here. No, here that's par for the course.
Yeah, I mean, I know all the famous songs and stuff like that, but I think part of the why this song works is just because he's such a legend, and obviously that name sway kind of was like, you know, you go up to Drew Carey and you're like, you want to be in a Dylan video? You go up to the guys in, you know, Chumley and Pawn Stars, and you guys want to do a Bob Dylan video, and then you know everybody's going to say yes, obviously. So. The one thing I did want to say in, I think the Words of Love video by the Beatles got obviously overshadowed by the Bob Dylan one, which is unfortunate. I'm not sure if either of them knew about. It's like one of those things where two movies come out that are kind of the same deal. Obviously, the concepts are really different, but they're sort of two artists from the same era. But
well, Beatles will still end up in the top 10, though.
Yeah, and they're probably going to end up in the top 10. But the Words of Love video if you're like a diehard Beatles fan, there's a lot of stuff in there for you. I used to read a lot of Beatles books and stuff about the years they were together and stuff. And one of the things that I really enjoyed was there's a famous story about Mal Evans, who is their roadie, big guy with glasses. And in the early days of the Beatles, when they were driving around in a van, there's a story that, you know, it was snowing really bad and he couldn't see. So he's like a big, strong guy. And he basically just he's driving to get this to this next gig, and he just punches the window out. And, you know, there's like snow flying and stuff, but he can see out the window. And, you know, the Beatles were so cold that they like lied on top of each other to keep warm in the back of this van, you know, going to some club in somewhere in England. And they actually they do an animation of that story like to the T in this video. And there's a few little things like that. So I think it was for like Beatles fans, you know, that's the people they're catering to. You know, who else is going to buy like Live at the BBC Volume 2? So so they did a really good job with that. I thought it was a fun video.
You have to be a pretty diehard Beatles fan to in my opinion, to like this era of the Beatles in general. They're like super poppy stuff. That's not for me.
I wish the Beatles came around in a time that had better audio fidelity, because if you really listen to a lot of their stuff, I mean, I think a lot of it is lost just in the recording procedure, especially like Please Please Me, their first album, which was recorded in, you know, 12 hours. You know, they jam you in a studio and, you know, an EMI with George Martin and say, you know, play all your songs. And, you know, it just, they changed a lot of things and helped themselves in a lot of ways. But yeah, no, I can see what you're saying there. I know a lot of people who are just can't stand this sort of, because this live version of Words of Love was, you know, a full like year and a half before they actually recorded it, and that was still really early Beatles. So
yeah.
Anyway,
I personally really like a lo-fi production value. I like the Beatles a lot.
Well, I feel the same way about like ABBA and a lot of the bands up until like, you know, I get a really big kick out of like something that's not only really good but also like really well recorded. And because I like to turn it up really loud, and
listen to this guy.
Yeah, when I'm listening,
just crank that ABBA.
I was cranking ABBA when I was running today, and I was like, and it was like starting to break up a little bit, and you know, it just even the remastered stuff is not that great. But anyway, I can definitely appreciate a lo-fi.
I like both. I like different types of music for different reasons, right? So lo-fi is cool, and I like a really clean pop production too, depending.
But like if the Beatles were recorded like today, you know, with like a super, you know, great mic setup that wasn't, you know,
EMI. Well, I think a lot of their, in the 60s. Correct me if I'm wrong, but I think a lot of their original recordings were even recorded in mono, I believe, which is really strange.
That's true.
Not even like a stereo mix.
Well, the funny thing is that when they used to record, when they used to do stereo mixes, the Beatles wouldn't even be there. They thought it was a novelty, you know, like do the stereo mix. So a lot of the, like if you get a lot of the old CDs of the and the records of the Beatles, the stereo mixes, they'll just mix the drums to one side. So if you're only listening to one side, you'll hear just like the one signal of the drum kit. It was really a bizarre time for recording music.
I think no matter what kind of method you're recording, I Want to Hold Your Hand is still a piece of shit.
Oh my God. All right. Well, whatever. Yeah. Doug and I differ on a few things, then we're definitely going to differ on that. So let's move on.
I'm on your side with this one, Adam. Well, I got to say.
Okay. Yeah. At least it's two against one. I don't know where Doug's coming from. Enjoy your Eric Clapton concert, Doug. I really want to talk about. I think we should skip around a little bit today because I don't think the top 10 is because of the interactive stuff is as representative, but
Adam Alexander is a big fan of this top 10.
I am actually. I mean, there's not a whole lot to say, but it's a very solid top 10 in terms.
See?
Of
the top 10. See,
but we got to talk about Bound 2.
By and, all right, we gotta hit. I think we have to hit a Happy 2 though a little bit, but we could do Bound 2 first.
We'll get to that stuff for sure. But no, Bound 2, I think let's hit Bound 2 first, because the discussion of Bound 2 has fizzled a little bit.
Yeah, because there's a lot of news making music videos this week.
This week there was. And so, yeah, the Bound 2 was getting a lot of talk up front. But, you know, you can only talk about how shitty a music video is for so long before you're
There is a lot. There's a lot of shittiness to talk about with this one.
There is, and we should preface this by saying, because I wrote an article about this week, about the place that it premiered, which was Ellen. And I think a lot of people were a little weirded out by that, but it's easy to forget that Kanye West has done this before. I have no clue why he is so into premiering stuff on Ellen, but he premiered Love Lockdown on Ellen in 2008, almost to the day. I mean, it was in late November in 2008. But this is just such a weird ass music video. There's so many things about this I don't understand.
And it's by a director, Nick Knight, who like is not normally a hack.
No, I don't know if this is hack stuff. It's just very odd.
It's the same conversation that we had with Black Skinhead. Is this supposed to be a piece of shit?
Right, exactly.
Is it accidentally a piece of shit, and it's just a bunch of people in the room jacking each other off, and then they're like, "This is amazing," and it's they miss.
What's missing is the main cue for something that's supposed to be intentionally shitty. Is that like there's usually just enough humor to get the point across that this is supposed to be shitty. This had no humor.
But Kanye West is trying to change things, like, you know, like leather jogging pants. I don't know what I'm talking about, but like it just makes me feel like, because Kanye, I mean, everybody has to know that this music video looks like garbage. They have to know that if the motorcycle is moving forward, that the hair should not be blowing forward. Like, they have to know where you put the fan. You know what I mean?
I think that's all. Nick Knight's too good for that kind of stuff. That's all on purpose. That's got to be.
That shit is on purpose. That's got to be on purpose. And so that makes me think, Black Skinhead, you're going to have to sell me a little bit more because
I can't defend that. But I have a lot of – Nick Knight has a lot of benefit of doubt with me because he's directed one of my favorite music videos of all time, which was Born This Way by Lady Gaga, and which is by far, I think, his most popular video. But he knows what he's doing.
He directed Black Skinhead. Let's not forget. So, you know, that – But you're right. He's made good music videos, everybody knows that, like, if you're supposed to be driving forward on a motorcycle, that the fan goes in front of you. Like, it's little things like that, and it's things like that that, like, the internet, like, really grabbed a hold of. You know, you're like clicking through Imgur, and you're like seeing people upload like gifs of her hair and shit. And
now the thing that weirded me out the most about this, like, I can sit through it until the point where, so Kim Kardashian is sitting opposite him, and there's this point where
just straddling him.
Yeah, the motorcycle starts like bucking up and down, and it just gets weird because she starts like kind of violently shifting back and forth.
While topless, you should add.
Yeah, while topless. Yeah. I didn't mind that part.
They're dry humping.
Right, basically dry humping.
Lack of a better dry humping on a motorcycle with a shitty
but dry humping with very little interest in one another for a couple that is an actual real life couple.
They seem very stoic. You're right. It doesn't seem.
But it's like dry humping for like 2 minutes. It's two minutes straight. It's very odd.
It's so weird. Now, another thing that like is Kanye West like also with Kim Kardashian because it's supposed to be bad, like the same way this, because like that, like she drags this video down also little bit, right?
I don't think she drags
just not the fact that she's like not a hot lady with big boobs, like yes she's that, but like Kim Kardashian is also like a piece of shit, and so if you put like a piece of shit in your music video, no matter like how like attractive that piece of shit is, like she also brings that. Like, people don't think highly of Kim Kardashian.
Yeah, but that's sort of like,
I think there's
tabloid.
A way to make a couple's video. There's a way to do it where people want to watch it, and this is not something that anyone wants to watch.
I mean, it's not, it's, better, not
that she's in, it's not that she's in it. It's the way that the video was fabricated. And yes, she does bring it down, but only in the way that it, the context of the green screen dry humping.
I think it's just her. I think you're bringing like the green screen dry humping. Like, this is Kanye West, like, who his music is supposed, like, he's supposed to be changing things and making and like evolving hip hop and like bringing things forward and doing things that nobody's thought of and shit. And then he's like shoving like an E! Entertainment like tabloid reality star in the music video. Like, if this was some girl from like the Real Housewives of Beverly Hills, like, it they would be treated as like a shitty tabloid star. But like, this is because it's Kanye West's wife, like, she's in the video and he isn't. Like, it's just weird. Like, I would not want Kim Kardashian in my music video because of what she's done before. And
why would you want your, are they married already? I forget. Either way, why would you want the mother of your child topless, dry humping you on a fake motorcycle? And
because that's Kim Kardashian. Like, why,
she's yeah, fake, but what?
She had sex on a movie.
Yeah, but why did he want to do that?
I don't know. Why did he have a baby with her? Like, I don't know.
Those now, if the point, if Nick Knight's, if what he was setting out to do was with Black Skinhead in this video is to get people talking and to get attention to the video, then mission accomplished in both cases. Maybe that was the goal, just to get people.
But isn't that going to happen with Kanye freaking West anyway? Like, if this is just a video with Kanye West, like, in performing the song without, like, a dry humping Kim Kardashian, like, if this is just Kanye performing, and this isn't, like, a 2 a.m. Showtime movie, like, is it still gonna have people talking?
I don't think not as much.
I don't think we're
focusing on the most important victims here, though, which are the people in Ellen's audience, live studio audience.
So if you're Ellen, is this good for Ellen though to be premiering this video?
I think it is, I guess, but if I'm Ellen and one of my assistants tells me Kanye West wants to come and play a video on your, it's just, why? Even in 2008 when he played Love Lockdown is a really weird video. It's just
not a daytime TV video.
It's a weird daytime, like, I'm not trying to say Ellen's audience is all like housewives or whatever, but it's like a early afternoon talk show. It's not like, it's a very weird venue for it, I find, and especially for Kanye West. Although I've never heard anybody except for Pope Michael's parents or Pope Michael's mom say anything bad about Ellen. So I don't know. Maybe
she said sorry. Pope Michael's mom said something bad about Ellen. Yeah. But no, in general, Ellen is universally accepted and seen a positive light. But like, she doesn't need help. Like, she got Barack Obama like dancing awkwardly on her show. She doesn't need Bound 2 to like push her over the edge. Like, I guess as a television show, like, Kanye West wants to do something on your show, you let him. But like, I don't know. Like, I feel like 2.5 million views, 3 million views, Kanye West is gonna get those views even if it's not a shitty video.
Did they air the same version of this video on Ellen? The topless version, or did they have a cut for TV?
I think this was the video. I mean, you don't see, it's not like, yeah, you see her.
Yeah, you do see her nipples though, which is more than I've ever seen on Ellen.
Wait, when do you see her nipples?
Well, they're in there.
I don't remember seeing them.
Well, I'm gonna watch it while we talk. We'll see.
At Fairholme, do you remember nipples?
They look sort of smooth to me.
I thought they were smooth.
Are they airbrushed out? Okay, I got it. I'll find the time.
Airbrushed out. Okay. I'm gonna screenshot this specifically for that or anything. Specifically for nipples.
It's not a strong song either. It's not, which adds to the.
Oh, really? That's my favorite song on that album.
Really? Okay.
Yeah, that's the only song on that album that I really like. It's like it's a more traditional Kanye West song. I get what he's doing. I just don't prefer the new, like, the, I don't prefer the direction of that album. Bound 2 is the only thing. It's like, you know, like the same kind of like soulful samples that like I liked in the early Kanye West stuff.
Yeah, Doug's a big early Kanye West guy.
I don't like the new album very much, but I wouldn't say this is a strong track.
Is it like the workout plan era stuff?
That album, my favorite Kanye album is still his first album. Workout Plan is not necessarily my favorite song, but like you know, Kanye in general, like the production, I like the soulful production, but I like Kanye when he was like vulnerable and relatable. Like that's what his first album was, and in parts his second, but definitely his first. Like he was a vulnerable MC who was like rapping about things that not everybody was rapping about. It was stuff that I like understood and could relate to. I can't relate to shit on anything he's done in several years.
And I like Graduation's my favorite. I like that album a lot.
It's still a similar era, and it's still that really soulful stuff. So like I'm with you on that. That's probably my second favorite Kanye album, but I'm still on the first one. That's still my fave.
Yeah.
So just to come back to the whole nipple dilemma here, definitely at 2:15 there is definitely 3/4 of a nipple visible behind Kanye's arm, more almost an entire nipple.
All right, I'm loading up right now.
I got it.
Do you think this is all stock stuff? Do you think this is all stock stuff? Stock photos?
Stock in video? The back and shit? Like, yeah. Even the stuff at the very beginning of the video?
Yeah, this is all, like, Pond 5
stuff. This video was literally just, like, some fucking change that he had after he bought a pack of smokes. Like, this cost not, like... both of them combined have, like millions of dollars, and they made this.
I don't see a nipple here, man. I mean, there's a lot of boobs. There's a lot of shaking boobs, which is, you know...
That is a full... Oh, my God.
215?
Yes.
I can sort of see that. Yeah.
You guys know.
Like there's some shadow there right around the contours of his arm, and there it is right by like the backside, right by his elbow. Right
okay,
there.
I can see that.
Where a boob is. Come on, back.
Wait, nipples where the boob is?
But it's right in the middle of the boob, Doug.
God, this is boob, one of the
where
most...
you would fight.
this is one of the most awkward videos I've ever seen in my life, just as a screen grab.
Are we talking about the which her left boob?
Yes.
Her left, right?
Definitely her left boob.
No, I think that's smoothed out, y'all.
You need to fix your monitor settings, like turn the brightness and the contrast up.
It's time to move on.
Yeah, we're moving on.
Yeah. We spent enough time talking about Kim Kardashian's nipple.
I think for that, all, but for the record, I think it's all Pond 5 stuff.
I'm with you on that. Jash credits Pond 5 in every video they put out. footage from Pond 5.
Are you guys interested in talking about Katy Perry unconditionally?
Sure. Good video.
Because I have Katy Perry is one of those artists that, I mean, she had such a huge album with, what was it, Teenage Dream. So many music videos. And I feel like, her sound has evolved and her lyrical content has evolved, but the structure of what she's doing is relatively the same. So I feel like we kind of know what's coming next. So, you know, we had the Roar video first, and this is sort of like the Unconditionally is very close to Firework. A lot of the songs on her new album have a very strong analog. Like Last Friday Night is very similar to This Is How We Do. Let me just pull up the album here real quick. Where is it? Here's Birthday is very similar to California Girls and there's it's a longer album, so there's not every like a one to one thing, but there's definitely themes. So this is definitely like a Fireworky type song directed by Brent Bonacorso, which I don't think I've seen a lot of his work. But anyway, this is kind of like one of her more like Firework was. I mean, there's nothing really like overtly sexual about it. She's actually in the Firework video, pretty much covered up. It's very filmed in a very kind of high class way. I don't know how to describe it. But there actually is a lot of kind of like effects like there is in the Firework video. There's like a fire effect. There's not much in the way of plot. It's more kind of a set piece for her, but it's a beautiful video. It's, I mean, in terms of the visuals.
especially the last two shots, I thought, with the kind of like a time lapse slow motion shot with the flowers shooting up behind her.
Oh, yeah, that's
a
great shot.
And then the car is like, I think there's a car exploding behind her or something like that. But those the final shots were really good, I thought.
Yeah, that last shot with the car is really beautiful, really colorful. Yeah. It's weird. I guess you have to watch it all the way to the end to kind of. The first two times I didn't make it all the way through, and I just watched it before we got on the call here. But it's. It's definitely. I don't think it's as compelling as something like a firework. But that was more of a concept song and a concept video. This is more like a showpiece video, which, you know, Katy Perry's huge, so she's going to pull in those big numbers. It's like at 4 million right now, but I think in a week of like really innovative stuff, it got a little bit buried.
Yeah, it's a built-in fan base, that kind of thing. I don't think, there was a lot of other stuff. This was not really a highly talked about video. Not a highly talked about video. But to anyone?
Well, we should just mention that, like I mentioned, Brent Bonaccorso is not somebody whose name I've seen a lot, but he did do the Home Again video by Elton John that came out a few weeks ago or months ago.
We stat picked.
Yeah, it was very much in the same kind of. Had a very similar look to it, who knows? Maybe that's something that maybe it's a video that caught the Katy Perry's eye or whoever was kind of looking out for this kind of thing.
Commissioned the video, Danny Lockwood,
who worked on Roar. He was one of the producers on Roar. But we should mention the number, which I think is going to be the number one. Or is that from last week? What Now?
No, that's going to... What Now is last from last week.
Okay, sorry.
It fell, yeah, and actually, so it showed half, like, just about a million views in that first day. And now we can see that it's gotten a lot more since at 44 million. We didn't really talk about the video. We teased that it was coming out. But yeah, What Now technically.
Because it came out Friday, right?
Yeah, or Friday morning. So if you want to see a little bit more about that, hear a little bit more about that video, we did an interview with Jeff Nicholas from the Uprising Creative, who directed this video. So check out that interview.
It's
a
crazy interview. When I was editing it for the blog, or reading over it for the blog, some of the stuff I just couldn't believe. Like, they got on a plane to Thailand. It was shot in Thailand, not in Bangkok, in a smaller town. And they got on the plane to Thailand without knowing they had the video. They were still working on like treatments and stuff in the air going to Thailand. They didn't even know if they were going to do the video. They could have gotten there and just turned around and gone home.
Right. They get there and like, like, you know, Shane Drake's there and it's like, oh shit. All right.
And,
see ya.
And the other thing that's absolutely ridiculous about the stories behind making that video is, Jesse Sternbaum, the first AD, kind of mapped out the whole shoot and said, okay, we're going to need 2 12-hour shoot days. And Rihanna's like, We're doing it in one 24-hour.
Let's just shoot straight through. Oh, sing. Everything's handheld. You have a big-ass camera on your shoulder. Sing Hao Yam, who's the director of photography on that video, who I've actually seen shoot a video before. And, like, dude goes in. Like, he throws that big-ass camera on his shoulder, and he just, like, gets his own shots. Like, he's just, like, running around, just, like, with another dude behind him, making sure he doesn't back into shit. And, he's definitely a DP who operates too, and they threw 24 hours at him, 24 straight hours at him. That's champion work right there. It's funny that you did that. It's also funny that they went all the way out there to shoot that video, and then everything is inside of essentially like a makeshift soundstage. Like, they didn't use anything. Like, they shot out there because she was on tour out there. And so that's the only way it would work. But yeah, they shot in Thailand, and there's no Thailand in the music video.
Right. It's one of those weird logistical things. Yeah.
Is there anything else really glaring in the top 10?
Okay. So there's a South Korean pop
Yeah, that's a fun one. To anyone, Missing You.
Yeah, it's great. They're actually my favorite K-pop box, so I was pretty excited. I like their faster tracks better, but this video is phenomenal. It's really good.
This video feels like the Katy Perry video a little bit.
Yeah, with the snow. That's surprising you mentioned that, Adam, because I hadn't heard of them, but somebody's been adding a lot of their videos lately, and they're good. I like them a lot. I think if you're not sort of predisposed to stuff like South Korean pop, it's a little tough to get into, but I'm getting there.
It's definitely like westernized, like big time. But this particular one is like a lot more like you look at like Psy, and that's like, and it's almost like making fun of Western culture. You know what I mean? Like it's a caricature. But like this is pretty tame, and but it definitely feels like an American pop video.
Yeah, but I find that's the interesting thing about this. They definitely take, obviously that's where their influence lies is in American culture. But I find they, in a certain way, not so much this video, but some of their other videos, they actually, in terms of a straight pop video, I find that they one up a lot of the American stuff that we see. I have to give you some examples, but if you look at some of them, possibly just in the fashion sense.
The hair is cooler than
like anything that I've ever seen Britney Spears do with her hair, just as an example.
So they do crazier shit with it, right?
Yeah.
This year. Now, guys, if we could move on, do you guys think that the A Great Big World video and the Jessie J video were shot in the same room?
They could have very well been.
Is it possible? They look very similar.
But the Jessie J one is an outdoors setting. Am I wrong?
Could be. I think it's just sort of like a nondescript and like black environment.
Because there's like a car parked on a road, I thought. I don't know. Right.
If there was ever if there was ever a one artist showpiece video, I mean, this is it. I mean, it's just basically Jessie J and all Jessie J. And she's, I mean, it's a long video, 3 minutes and 37 seconds. And I feel like she holds it, especially because she's styled so much differently than she has been in. I mean, she is one of the top, I can't remember what the number it is, but one of her videos is like one of the top of all time. And she's styled significantly different in it. Let's see, Jessie J. It's one of these deals.
I think both those videos were actually quite good. Actually,
Price Tag, which is also a Emil Nava video.
That's right. Yeah. But I mean, I thought this was a great video.
It's beautiful. It's good stuff.
Great Big World one is good too, and Christina looks really good. Like the best she's looked in a while, I thought.
I'd buy her a steak dinner.
There you go.
Would you buy her? Oh, ginger ale. That's the expensive stuff.
Oh, we're going big. Ginger ale, no mixer. That just straight ginger ale. No, like Seagram's.
So we have a few more interactive ones to talk about because there's
an interactive video that the standard version made the top 10 list, and that's Queens of the Stone Age, The Vampire of Time and Memory. That was also an interactive video, which my internet was too shitty to work with, so I don't know what the interactive version of this video does. What does it do, guys?
To be fair, you didn't really miss out that much on the interactive version of this. The standalone video is phenomenal. The interactive version is kind of like some of the old PC games where you had to interact with basically just a click to advance through a hallway or to interact with like an object or something. And there's not enough to it for it to be as successful as it could have been. There's not enough to click on. So you basically walk through the mansion, and then when you turn a corner, the band is playing the video, and it's actually like the scene from the video. And then, so the whole video plays in that view, and then you turn around and it's like a wall, and you can click on a CD, and then it opens iTunes, and you buy the album. And there's not enough to it for it to work. There's not enough to it. The video as a standalone is much stronger.
But how's the album? Did you buy it? Was it any good?
How is this album? Yeah. Actually, this album is phenomenal. One of the year's best albums, for sure.
Boom. Drops the mic.
No, is this the... I haven't been following them. Is this the first single from the album?
No, they did an amazing series of animated videos.
Yeah, those animated ones.
When the album dropped.
Oh, that's right.
There were three or four of them, and they were all one storyline. Awesome.
Yeah, those were dark, so really dark.
Well, this one's dark, too. This video freaks me out a little bit. It's, I don't know. It's
creepy.
Yeah.
It's, all the animals and shit, right?
Yeah, it's just if you're creeped out by certain things, this video is really creepy. It's also shot in a really, not dark, but just like, I don't know, eerie way. It was very effective. Yeah. Directed by Kill Aarons. Sorry, or Aarons, probably pronouncing it wrong. And Jason Trucco,
or and the Trucco. Woman, I don't know what the woman's story is. I'm not sure who she is, but she figures prominently into the video, and she is creepy. I wouldn't want to meet up with her ever.
You wouldn't want to meet her in a dark alley.
Definitely not. Not even in a very well lit alley. Nowhere.
The numbers just refreshed. We record this at a weird time. But if we do we want to look through this top 10 list one more time? Rihanna's now off. Couple guys are now off.
Kanye's killing it with number 2.
Yeah, Unconditionally number 1. Bound 2 for number 2. We got To Anyone, Missing You at number 3. We got, this is a weird one, Martin Garrix and Jay Hardaway, Wizard, directed by Mark Lunan, which was I liked that video. I thought it was a great video. Directed by Mark Lunan. We got Great Big World with Christina Aguilera at 5 with Say Something, directed by Christopher Sims. Jesse J. Thunder at 6 by Emil Nava. Queens of the Stone Age, we were just talking about, at 7. Beatles' Words of Love at 8, which is nice. Somebody I've never heard of before, but I think the director actually submitted this video, and I watched it, and I thought it was interesting. And it's Chanel West Coast.
Yeah.
And then 10, Flume, Drop the Game, which I did not see, by Lauren Astin.
It's a great dance video, actually.
Now here's a good question, and this can lead us into talking. Don't worry, Adam, we'll definitely talk about Happy. But there's a possibility, because sitting right now at number 11 is easily for me my favorite video of the week, Arcade Fire Afterlife, technically the second version to the first version, which was the live YouTube Music Award version directed by Spike Jonze featuring Greta Gerwig. The second version, which came out today, directed by Emily Kaibach, is a amazing music video. Probably my favorite, at least of the month. I mean, this thing is... I really, really enjoyed this video. I'm already adding it to a potential for the... Well, let's not get ahead of ourselves. Really great video. Standing at number 11 right now with a recent Vimeo staff pick, which will shoot some views its way. So it's possible Arcade Fire could crack the top 10. It's got a little bit of a hill to climb, though, to beat that Flume video. But let's talk about this one, guys.
I'd say it's definitely one of the strongest narrative videos that we've seen this year. It's powerful. Yeah. It's a very well shot video, which mixes like a real time narrative with like sort of dream sequences that reveal some more of the story. It's excellent.
Now, Emily Kaibach is someone we've had on this very podcast before, right after she directed Oblivion by Grimes. And I was really, I was surprised. I hadn't heard that she was doing this video, but I was really excited to see her doing this because it just seems like the style of Arcade Fire, especially in the Reflector album and Emily Kaibach, go together really well. She also directed with, collaborated with Evan
Proflowski.
She also collaborated with Evan Proflowski, who has been the DP for pretty much all of her videos, including Grimes, Oblivion, and Yet Again by Grizzly Bear. And he is known to enjoy shooting on film. And I'm pretty sure this looks like it was shot on film, because Evan also did this one, which also gave it a really interesting look. It was a beautiful video. I was a little confused in some of the narrative parts. Maybe you guys can fill me in. Not that that took away from the video at all, but what do you guys think?
So in terms of narrative, I've got it pegged as this is either the video opens on a man selling flowers.
On the side
of the road, and
I thought he was paused,
then you see him with his two sons, eldest son and younger son, and then you see like the song is called Afterlife, and you see all these flashback moments. With each of the three men, the two sons and the father, with a woman figure, and this woman is credited as the mother. I have this as them as flashbacks of when she was alive, and now she's not. So this is the mother.
Doug, you gotta start. You gotta.
And the three
broke up a little.
Well, fuck that. So where am I starting? Am I starting over?
No, we got most of it. Yeah, we lost your last sentence there.
Yeah, you're good.
So basically, the concept is that the mother is dead, and we're seeing kind of the main narrative is.
Are you watching the video right now?
After her life, after she's been alive, and then they're remembering. No, I'm not. It's your guys' shit. My shit is fine.
Oh yeah, you have the best internet.
I needed to do to make sure this works. I was in America. The mother's dead, and they're remembering her.
I'll just add one thing to that. Take it one step further to what Doug was explaining. I think it's important to note that a lot of the scenes of them remembering the mom and the wife are done in the dream format. And I would like to think that based on what the song is about, the afterlife, the afterlife could be we live on in the memories of the people that love us, which is of the message that I got from the video was that that this is how deceased mom is living on in the memories of her family.
Perfect. I completely agree. That's exactly what I took from it.
And I was, I guess one point of confusion I had was where what that whole environment was, where that party was so underground. But I guess it doesn't really need an explanation. I felt like there had to be some sort of significance to the whole, you know, the guys walking around all the kind of the mines and the
industrial equipment and that kind of stuff.
Right. There's more.
And then there's the baptism, and then there's also the part with the little boy and the laundromat and stuff. Like there are definitely there's a lot more going on than that basic narrative that Adam and I talked about. But I think
you guys needed another interview with Emily. That's what I think.
Yeah.
We need to pick a brain on this.
Yeah, okay. Let's do it. Let's make it happen.
Did you reach out to Emily, Doug?
Yeah, of course. Of course I did. Hopefully we can talk to her more.
The title of the episode that Emily is on is called Talking into the Abyss. I guess we were like saying like yes and or giving her enough like verbal feedback on what she was saying, and all of a sudden she just stops at one question. She's like, "I feel like I'm talking into the abyss."
We weren't saying anything back to her. We were just letting her tell her story. We were fascinated by it. Of course,
yeah, it was. She was great on the podcast. She was one of my favorite interviews.
Yeah, definitely.
Because she had just. I mean, this was before. She did Grizzly Bears before, you know, the Solange video, pretty much everything. I mean,
she's done so many good videos since that interview, for sure.
One of my favorite new directors. I want to go back and listen to that podcast. Maybe I'll do that after.
It's a good podcast.
It's a good listen.
Because we don't just talk about that one, so we get into a lot of... we talked about Oblivion, of course, but we got into, like, her... Cool Music 5 video and a bunch of other earlier stuff. So.
You also want to check out, it was the first cinematographer profile I ever did with Evan Proposky, who is like Adam mentioned, a frequent collaborator with Emily. And yeah, he shoots pretty much everything in film. He owns a film camera.
He owns a Canon Coolpix, right?
Yeah, that's the one. That's the one. Stupid idiot. So but in case you guys are wondering, yeah, Afterlife, definitely my top video of the week.
Adam, what would you say yours was?
At this point, I've got some catching up to do. I work too much this week, so I'm behind on everything that came out today, pretty much, besides Happy, which I spent 3 hours watching. I have to say that Afterlife right now is definitely my favorite as it stands.
So I readily admit that I'm a huge sucker for funny videos. I know it's a word, or it puts things on a skewed playing field. But hey, people can be fans of funny movies and stuff or whatever. So I really like the Jason Goldwatch Stepbrothers.
Yeah! Such a good video, dude.
So the premise of this video is that it's evidence and who? Sorry, Doug, I'm blanking.
It's true. Evidence and Alchemist.
That's right, Alchemist. Sorry, oh, evidence Alchemist. And evidence yeah, okay. and Alchemist. And
I'm gonna have to watch this.
The whole video is them doing these stupid like contests. There's a bunch of them. There may be like 20 like contests.
There's as many contests as there are channels in the Bob Dylan video.
Exactly. But they're all just, like, the stupidest shit. Like, somebody, like, they're at the bowling alley, and it's, like, whoever gets two strikes wins. They're playing, like, Jenga.
Yeah.
They're playing air hockey for the
first... So many arcade games. Drinking beer.
The biggest catch, but some of them I'm looking for. There's one that was the stupidest, which was fastest orange peeler. it's just like one of those videos that just doesn't give a shit. And Jason, we actually had Jason Goldwatch on the video on the podcast as well a while back, maybe 2 years ago, and he hasn't done as much.
And evidence too.
Maybe there's a pattern here, and. This is just a funny video, and one of the things that makes it so funny is that Evidence and Alchemist deadpan everything so hard, but they don't deadpan it in a way that they're like faking like competition between them for these things. They're faking it like they kind of don't give a shit about anybody's. Right. They just don't really give out. They don't emote that much, and I loved this video. Yeah. But if I'm going for art.
They draw pictures of each other at the beginning. It's my favorite part. And Evidence draws a thought bubble for an alchemist and says, "I suck at life." It's just so stupid. So funny. So I love when rappers can joke like that. Because I've heard stories of rappers like complete like asking for treatments for a music video, and they'd be like completely open brief, just no humor. And so when rappers will really embrace them, and Jason Goldwatch is great at this too. He's directed a lot of music videos. You know, a lot of music videos with like not taking yourself too hip hop seriously. He's also done plenty of serious hip hop videos as well. But like, you know, I'm thinking of like Strictly for My Jeeps and that
all
kind of
the
stuff.
Kid Cudi ones.
Yeah, right. Like just always really good at like showing that side of rappers that you don't typically see. And Evidence and Alchemist kill it, definitely. Who and Evidence and Alchemist are who make up Step Brothers.
So yeah, this was a great week. Superior podcast. This was a really interesting week.
We promised Adam that we would talk about Happy by Pharrell. Right. Of course.
I'll make it quick since the video is not quick.
It's a good video though, and so we should definitely talk about it. Directed by We Are From LA. Adam, why don't you tell us a little bit about it?
Okay, so basically the idea behind this video is it's a self-proclaimed the first 24-hour long music video. And what they've done is, in fact, filmed 24 hours worth of music video. Well, more than that, I would assume, but after editing and all that stuff, they put this thing together. And basically, it from what I've seen is... The song repeats over and over for the 24-hour duration, and each time that the song replays, they have a new someone is going to either dance or react to the music in some way. Sometimes it's just like they'll just be walking and kind of clapping and little things, and then other times it's really extravagant, like full-out dance parties, and they've got some celebrity cameos in here as well. But what makes it an interactive video is it's not just like a video that just runs 24 hours. It also has like this crazy kind of it brings up some controls where you can fast forward to the next performer, and you can move the timeline as well. There's like a circular dealy that you can move to any time of the day. So the other cool little twist is that when you hit play, it starts the video at whatever the active time is. And if it's morning or afternoon or evening, it's the same in the video. So it'll be daytime, nighttime. Hmm. And it also works that way too. So there's lots of stuff to see in here, even if you just flip around. I actually just sat for an hour and let it go. And the song is pretty catchy too, so it doesn't ever get annoying. But yeah, it's a kind of a cool idea.
The song's off of some soundtrack. It's Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs.
You know what? I didn't know that, but just from watching it, I think it's from that cartoon with Steve Carell, who's also in this video. He has one of the bits.
Oh, then yeah, definitely Despicable Me 2.
Despicable Me 2. There's actually some kids. There's a bowling alley sequence, and there's a TV in the background, and it's playing that, and the kids are kind of dancing while watching it, and I was like, okay, that has something. Right,
yeah, it's funny that this music video, like, there are a lot of cameos. I've seen a bunch. Tyler, the Creator, Earl Sweatshirt, and Jasper from Odd Future are in the video. Adam mentioned Steve Carell, but you don't see a lot of coverage of the cameos in this video because I just don't think people got to them because it's a 24-hour long video and you have to. So, did you see anybody else? You watched an hour straight. That's pretty impressive.
Actually, one other one that I caught and I got really excited. I don't know this guy's name, but there was a Black Keys video that came out about 2 years ago for one of their more popular songs. And it took place outside of a car dealership. And this little dude comes out and he just dances like the whole duration of the video. Do you guys remember this one?
Are you talking about Lonely Boy?
Lonely Boy.
The guy's name is Derek Tuggle, and Derek Tuggle has been in. Derek Tuggle is also in a music video called Benny Goodman by Saint Motel, directed by AJ Jackson, produced by Anthem Films. Benny Goodman, he's also in that video.
That guy busted out. I was like real excited because that
Derek Tuggle. Yeah, that's funny. That's funny. I'm really impressed that you watch it for so long. I enjoyed this video. I think. It was really well executed. I like the fact that you could toggle the day. When I first started it, when it was in the video the same time that it was in reality, I thought that it was actively being shot. I was that impressed. I was like, holy shit, they're shooting this now. And then I'm like, wait, this is definitely LA. And it's not 1 o'clock there, and so then I realized what was happening. But I think it was pretty cool. I think it was pretty cool, and I think you know, Pharrell is a smiling guy who can kind of pull off a simple video like this. Like, you know, if you're just watching like kind of Pharrell walking down the street in some like cool expensive clothes, like lip syncing the video, like it works, and it works for 24 hours straight apparently. But I like this one. Farrah, you liked it too, right?
Yeah, it was just funny because it was like one of those weeks where there were so many music videos coming out that I, you know, to watch. And then as soon as that came down the pipeline, it's like, hey, here's a 24-hour music video. We couldn't possibly have made this more of a time investment for you to watch this. You're like, this isn't something you can pop on, you know, and sit back and enjoy for 3 minutes. You really need this. This is gonna fuck your shit up for a whole day. So
I wonder if anyone has watched it straight through. I don't think that's possible.
I think someone will. A few people will probably, but maybe me. We'll see how the weekend goes.
What your plans are?
But
really, you could have spent the whole week just watching Rolling Stone, and now this one. You didn't have to watch any other videos.
Yeah, there's no, seriously, that would have taken
for the rest of the year.
Yeah, totally. But you know, for the last couple of weeks, we've been talking about how things have been slowing down, and there's only been one or two, and this week certainly threw a monkey wrench in that idea, because there was a lot of music videos that came out this week from every walk of life, from interactive to indie to big pop stuff like Katy Perry stuff. We had it all.
I could barely keep up with the indie this week. There were a couple days there where there were like 30 coming down the pipes, and I was like, holy smokes.
I haven't even
watched all of them yet. So yeah, exactly. For pop too, like, I really like that top 10. Solid.
That's it. That was a pretty ridiculous week, and we didn't even talk about a lot of videos. So, anyway, if you want to see Oh, I don't even know where to tell you to go. Go to our site and check them out.
IMDb.com is everything. Facebook.com. Facebook.com/IMDb. Twitter.com/IMDb. OprahLovesShoes.com/IMDb. All of those, anything in the world.
/IMDb. FringeMusicFix.com. And then that's it. We'll see you guys. Actually, we won't be doing next week because it'll be Thanksgiving. So
Thanksgiving.
We'll be skipping a week. We'll see you guys in 2 weeks. Bump, bump, bump. Everybody get up.
Everybody get up. Sure.